All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Thursday, April 6th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over to the site. You can grab a free, I believe, still 7-day trial to our projection system at DFSR.com/MLB because that will provide you optimal lineups for NBA, DraftKings, and FanDuel, but Major League Baseball, FanDuel, and DraftKings, which we just spent the last hour and a half making sure that everything was up and firing for baseball. Baseball is a fun season to get started with a projection system. Anyway, you can go check it out. It's been very successful to start the season. Thanks, and I put a lot of credit to us for spending a lot of time doing this and making sure the inputs are correct. And so it's all
to say. That's a great opening segment, buddy. I'd just like to give a big shout out to us, actually, for doing all the hard work that made it necessary.
No one else does it.
It's like Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech.
I'd like to thank myself for just being great. No one else helped me at all. DFSR.com/MLB, free 7-day trial, just $29.95 a month. After that, you're all set to go. We wrap all of our subscriptions under one blanket. You don't need to section it off by sport or provider or whatever. We think it's about as good a deal as you'll find in the industry. All right, basketball tonight, 6 games on the slate. Most of them going off pretty early. Most 4 of the 6 are in the 7 to 7:30 hour. So actually, and then there's an 8 o'clock game and then one lone 10:30 game. So I suspect on the good news part of the show, we will have any outstanding injury sort of stuff worked out before lineup lock starts, which is this time of season, that's not an insignificant thing just because teams choose to rest guys. They are sit guys kind of randomly. Late season NBA can be a cruel madam. Is that a saying? Cruel madam? Cruel mistress. That's it.
Your brain's fried, old man.
You know, I trend toward the older ladies, so it was madams.
madam.
that's not true. Late season NBA can be real bare, but we've been able to have a bunch. We're just pretty much on a hot streak because we're making sure down to the wire we're paying attention to what teams' plans are and what we think they're going to do, and we'll kind of break some of that down on the pod today. First game is Indiana and Milwaukee. Indiana still fighting for a playoff spot. If the playoffs started now, they would not be in, I don't think, because of tiebreakers, but essentially they're in a
three-way tie with Chicago and Miami. Like they're all playing for a ton right now.
Right. So Indiana playing for a lot here. Milwaukee probably not as much. They're just playing for probably to not dip down into the 6 or 7 seed and try to avoid
that. Matters, dude. Yeah, they don't want to play. Like, how much better does it sound to play Toronto with questionable health, Washington, they're all over the place right now, than to play Cleveland or Boston? They're definitely playing as best they can right now.
Milwaukee coming off getting absolutely smoked by the Thunder the other night, which was a bummer because we did a little Milwaukee stack only to see them sit for the fourth. What are your thoughts on this game? Mostly, we'll start with the big guys. Giannis, George are probably the biggest names that we would kind of target here. Where do you see them kind of fitting into cash game viability?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys you can look at in this game, and certainly our system is going to key in here for a number of reasons. First of all, I think you do get minute security pretty much across the board here. Like you mentioned, both teams are playing for something. And the line here is -4, so I think that, yeah, this will be a close game. We'll see the big stars out there doing their thing. The second reason is that there's some sneaky good matchup stuff going on here. The Pacers in particular have been pretty dicey against a few key positions. The first one is small forward. I mean, depending on how you want to classify Giannis, in spite of having Paul George there, the Pacers have allowed the 6 most fantasy points to opposing small forwards this season. And that's, I think, a pretty troubling sign when you're going up against a guy of Giannis' caliber who, you know, not really guardable by opposing shooting guards. You know, you really want someone with a little bit more size. So I think that he looks like a pretty solid play. It's kind of interesting because on the Pacers side of the ball, we've had pretty solid minute security recently, but some pretty erratic performances. You know, like guys like Miles Turner spring to mind here, where he's played like 36, 47 minutes in the last 2 games, but only managed to average 15 fantasy points in those 2 games. So, you know, our system, particularly on DraftKings, is certainly going to key in on a guy like that who, you know, the season-long track record is a guy who's just worth more than that. And if he's playing his most minutes of the season, the system isn't going to be able to ignore that. So, you know, you get guys like that, and then you get just other little potential value guys. Dellavedova, I think, is still a solid play in spite of one bad performance. Yeah, just Thad Young, I think, is a reasonable upside play. There's some other better options probably at power forward for cash game purposes. But yeah, there's a lot to key in on here.
Yeah, that Miles Turner 47-minute game, I believe that was a double overtime game against Cleveland. But point taken, he still is playing high.
My point is more like the points per minute production was terrible is what I'm pointing out.
No, I'm with you on all these on pretty much all these plays. It's hard. We had Dellavedova the other night in like the bad cheap point guard carousel and kind of just came up craps on that one because it was like between him, Baker, and Jamal Murray. Dellavedova was the one that just kind of snuck in by a tenth of a point, and he played 17 minutes. I don't think that would be the case again. You hope that they would keep it close. It is interesting that Indiana is -4.5 here. I don't know if that's Vegas just saying they have a little bit more to play for. The game's at home. 4.5 is. That is pushing the realm of like not heavily favored, but it's not a coin flip, right? So I'm a little.
No, what they're saying is that they believe it, with the current state of health, Indiana is a slightly better team. And I mean, if you look at the records, they're separated by two games.
True.
Also, in terms of point differential, Indiana is a slight negative point differential. Milwaukee's a flat zero, allowed exactly as many points as they've given up. So these teams are basically even. I think it's just a good old fashioned. Close game. Hopefully lots of good possessions late. Another guy to key in on here actually is Chris Middleton. I forgot to mention him. But Middleton, it's tough to know this from looking at the recent game log, but he does appear to be back in that 35 to 37 minute rotation. And while he hasn't been paying this price, day in, day out necessarily, I do think that in a normal game script, he's a favorite for something like 30 fantasy points, and I think he gets that tonight.
I think the Indiana does create matchup problems for the Bucks here between those two guys, between Giannis and Middleton. They're just so long. Indiana does not have, after George, the defensive guys, they're just bad defenders, basically. Thad, Monte Ellis, the guys like this. Glenn Robinson, I suppose, is supposed to come back. But they're just not a very good defensive team. I'm with you here. This is a game that we will not target exclusively, but has a lot to like when we're building lineups. The other 7 o'clock game, Orlando and Brooklyn. I wish I had some kind of like, I wish I knew how to do sound drops so I could just do like some kind of drop for like what we all, the same thing I always say whenever Brooklyn's on the slate, which is essentially like, oh, awesome, they're playing, ignore them, because we don't want any part of that mess. But whoever's playing against them, here it's Orlando. Do you think Aaron Gordon, specifically, just kind of like what he's been doing lately? I know the game against Cleveland wasn't in the same range as the two games before, but the minutes have really been there. Do you think he ends up just kind of becoming a chalk play?
Well, yeah, keep in mind that they got absolutely run out of the gym against Cleveland, and he still managed to play 32 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think that Terrence Ross, a bunch of these guys are going to be, Evan Fournier, I think, as well. A bunch of these guys are going to be heavily, heavily owned tonight. The real question here in this game, so yeah, play any Orlando guy you want. You can justify basically all of them. The two major questions coming out of this game are, is the price too high on Nick Vucevic? Yeah, there we go. He's 8,100 right now. That's pretty expensive for what he's brought to the table recently, but it's such a good matchup that maybe you can justify it, particularly in big tournaments, that sort of thing. And I think some people might just talk themselves into it for cash games too. Center pretty shallow tonight, basically after Karl Anthony Towns, and a lot of people aren't going to want to go the Miles Turner route, so he's definitely going to be on a lot of radars too. And then the other major one that I think we're going to have to take a hard look at is Jeremy Lin. I mean, I know that it's been sort of up and down for him, but Brooklyn only a 2-point dog in this game, and that means he's probably going to play something like 29 to 31 minutes. If he does that, recent game records suggest that he'll be up there in the 30 fantasy point range, and that's hard to turn away from.
Yeah, no, with Lin, I just, my constant worry on him is the minutes, and that's it. Now, he's been pretty much paying these prices off. It's really close, though, and whenever it's close, like he gets there on 23 minutes against Philly easily. So right. You figure, like, if he gets up to 30, that game ended up being like the random blowout also, like Brooklyn randomly blew out Philadelphia. But the game against Atlanta, 31, he's just not going to play in any scenario, not going to play more than 31 minutes. And that's the only thing that worries me. So like, what's the most you can reasonably expect from him? Like 35 points, basically? Like,
that's a ton.
I agree with you. My point being, he's not going to hit... His chances of hitting 40 are less than his chances of hitting like 23 because he just doesn't play enough minutes, if that makes sense. So
I don't know. I don't think that does make sense. Like his lowest since he's been playing these starters minutes has been 25 fantasy points, and that was in a brutally slow matchup with Detroit. I think we can take, even just the recent Orlando game 3 games ago is a relatively decent proxy. 29 fantasy points on 6,000 is just very solid. The thing I think a lot of people maybe don't realize about Lin and his current role with Brooklyn is that he's doing more than just scoring. He's in there about 7 assists a night. He's also rebounding the ball a ton, just being very active. Like the fact that he's putting up 5-6 rebounds a game in just 30 minutes means that he's just playing at a level of intensity that a lot of guys at the point guard position simply don't. Or even like shooting guards like Evan Fournier, who when I was doing the write-up last night, I realized that he had only, I think he had 3 total rebounds and assists across his last 2 games. Bang. Something like 67 minutes on the court. It's like ridiculous. But and I don't know what makes Jeremy Lin such a better rebounder than him. But anyway, I think that Lin is just a good play tonight. I think I could be happy playing him in cash games. I think I'd be willing to accept the risk, given that this game just the highest total by a country mile and the closest line. So let's just add all those factors together and you have a pretty good spot.
Yeah, that game total does tell you a pretty big story about it. And back to the original point on Orlando, is going to 3 to 4 Orlando guys in cash games is completely reasonable, I think. Even 4 guys, like they've been shortening up the rotations a little bit. You know, Jeff Green is now out. They've been playing Gordon more minutes. This was the problem with them early in the season. That just wasn't the case. These guys would just kind of get buzzed off their run for seemingly no reason because of Frank Vogel. That's not the case anymore. 3 to 4 of these guys in cash, I think, is going to be kind of an industry standard across the board. You're not sneaking up with playing anybody against the Nets anymore.
Yeah, Gordon could have 90% ownership tonight. Like,
oh yeah.
Just, and actually, I think he makes for a pretty interesting fade for big tournaments. But I'll get to who I think you could put in instead of him later.
Ooh, don't bury the
lead. It's a teaser.
A little teaser. Chicago and Philly. Chicago, another one of those teams caught in that 3-way tie for along with the Heat and the Pacers for the last spot in the East. Now, 2 of those teams are going to make the playoffs, so it's not as maybe dire as if it was just one. But they're still a team that is looking to play for something. They get to play Philadelphia. Philadelphia clearly in full tank mode. There's no doubt about that one. And speaking of tank mode, I just want to make one point, and it's a shame they're not playing. Never has a team tried so desperately to lose as the Lakers did last night against the Spurs and simply like just couldn't. They randomly won the other night
got up like 20 in the first quarter and then.
Well, there was like articles. This is going to be sidetracked, but there were articles written, full articles about how disastrous the previous win that they, I forget who they played, the previous win was for their lottery chances. Like they lost like 10% expectation on maintaining like the first or second pick just from like this one random win. That was 2 games ago. Then last night they played the Spurs, who I'm sure they just went into like no chance we win this. And then the Spurs were like, we're not resting anybody. They're like, yes, no chance we win this.
And then they sat D'Angelo Russell.
Well, then they said, they said D'Angelo Russell. They're like, we'll just make sure we can just totally lock this thing up.
let's not get too crazy.
Then somehow it was almost like the Spurs were trolling them by allowing them to win. It just seems so crazy. Anyway, so the lineup they had out in the court that was like, if it was a D-League team, you'd be surprised. It was like Nwaba, Enes. It was just so clear. They're like, please, guys, just don't do anything. And anyway, they sneak out the win. Philly sort of in the same thing here. They've limited Sarich's minutes now to only 24 a game, so just kind of making sure that he stays probably active without making it anywhere close that their best player is going to do any damage to them in terms of lottery. The rest of the Philly team, though, Sergio Rodriguez is still out. Rashawn Holmes is a guy that if he sees minutes, we like him. I don't know. So we can start with the Sixers here. What stands out to you here, or because the way that they're sort of tanking, their minutes become too much in flux?
I find it really hard to get excited about the Sixers. I mean, I think Holmes is a reasonable consideration. Just the points per minute production has been so excellent that it's hard to ignore it. But, you know, if he just doesn't play his minutes, then you could be in really, really bad shape. And I'm talking strictly for cash game purposes. Obviously, he's a tremendous play in big tournaments precisely because he's been letting people down. But, it's just kind of hard to trust right now. I actually really like Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot.
TLC, baby. Got to just say TLC.
The reason I like Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot is because just because he's been playing incredible minutes. I mean, even in that Brooklyn game where, you know, the Philly found a lot of good reasons to sit some of the other decent players. He played 38 minutes, 36 before that against Toronto, 43 against Cleveland. Now, he hasn't always paid off these prices necessarily, but in the good matchups, basically, he does. Like, the Toronto and Cleveland are about as bad a matchup as he can get, and he still averaged more than 20 regular points per game against those guys. You know, he's a little scoring dependent for what I'd like to see at around $4,800 salary on FanDuel, but not desperately so by any means. And, you know, it's just going to be tough to find. Shooting guard's another really tough position tonight. Wouldn't be surprised if you want to see him in your cash game lineups when it's all said and done. The other guy, I think the main guy coming out of this game is going to be Jimmy Butler. I'm sure you've noticed, but for our listeners out there, the Bulls have been crazy on their minutes recently. Like, they're just remind you of these, like I just think back when I used to play poker and someone just starts losing and then they just start throwing out everything they've ever known about how to be an effective poker player and just try to like make something work, anything. They're like, well, I guess I, you know, you hear the guy say like, guess I have to play bad hands to win now. I just feel like that's where the Bulls are right now. They're like, Mrotić, 36 minutes this game, 21 the next. Like, we just got to, we don't know who's good on this team. Rajon Rondo, play 36 minutes, play 21. Like, they just have no idea, except for Butler. That's the one guy that they know needs to play. So Rondo can go from 36 to 25, who knows. But Butler's going to be out there for high 30s, you know, dipping into the low 40s with some frequency recently. Just 9,900. That's a price he's been playing pretty reliably. I mean, last game notwithstanding against the Knicks when he just kind of, you know, saw across the board slight declines. But I think he'll be a highly owned player tonight in a what should be a pretty good matchup with the no Covington Sixers.
He'll be, I think, not in that same like 90% range, but really damn high. Just considering how many the matchup, the price on him comes back down into under 10. He was up over, I think he was up over 10 for a little bit on FanDuel. That's back down to 9,900. The matchup and just like you said, the fact that he's just among all these guys that among all the big guys that are going tonight. No one else, except for maybe Towns, just because of the way they play him, has the same kind of minutes upside as Butler in the sort of like must win game that they see. So getting 40
minutes. The issue is that it's going to be tough for people to play Giannis, Butler, and Towns, and they're going to have to. Most people are going to have to decide between two of those guys and leave the other on the bench. There actually are lineup permutations, especially if like you don't mind playing Dellavedova. You know, guys like Terrence Ross. Maybe Georgie Deng. There are guys out there that free up enough salary where you can play those big three plus Aaron Gordon. And I think a lot of people are going to talk themselves into it. So definitely something to keep in mind. But yeah, I think Butler will be the highest owned of that group.
Yeah, just figuring out the expensive guys to play is the key here. And those guys, I don't know, figuring out the low-cost guys at this point in the season is probably the way to go to get. I maybe wouldn't put Towns in the exact same category, but pretty damn close against a Portland team that's missing its only center now. Anyway, I'm with you on Butler. I'm with you on the frustration that comes along with the Bulls just in general. I thought your analogy pretty much summed it up perfectly. Washington and the Knicks. Washington not in that same, I don't believe, in that same win-now mode. They can probably only leapfrog the Raptors at this point, and I'm not even sure how motivated they are to do it. You're going to get either the Bulls or the Heat or the Pacers at the bottom no matter what, because I don't know what like still fighting for that third seed does, and the line makes me sort of feel like the Vegas feels the same way. It's only -5.5 against the Knicks team, who's now without Rose. Porzingis is questionable. Melo feels like he's sort of on his last legs, and the rest of their team is absolute and total garbage. Like Ron Baker and Maurice Nador, I can't remember his full name, but he started last game. Where do you see guys like Wall, Beal, and the Washington starters? And Knicks team is obviously trash, but are you worried at all that they just aren't motivated to just kind of play a ton of minutes?
Well, it's a combination of that and just that a lot of them are pretty expensive. Like John Wall is at 10-5 now. He's kind of a 10-5 player in the absolute best of times when like Beal sits and it's a great matchup. I just don't see him as a generic 10-5 player. And none of the other Washington guys, I mean, I'm sure, again, you've looked at these minutes, but for those following along at home, like Porter, Morris, Gortat, like none of these guys have really been fantasy viable recently because the minutes have just been completely berserk. Otto Porter, like if you just average person off the street how many minutes Otto Porter's playing right now, there's no way they could tell you that he averaged 24 minutes in his last four games. Like it's just it's a kind of a crazy situation there.
The average person on the street, I don't think, would know who Otto Porter was. Just so you know.
No, they would. Georgetown grad. Yeah. they would know.
Bet it down to the boardwalk. Hey, you know who Otto Porter is? I think I'd get an over 100 probably on that one. But anyway.
Tell me when you're done derailing my excellent analysis and then I'll get back to work.
I'm done. Go.
Okay, great. I was going to continue now. So anyway, none of these Washington guys really seem too attractive to me. I guess the one potential asterisk there is Bradley Beal. 7,500 on FanDuel. He's down from that 8,000 peak price, which was admittedly absurd. But even still, there's some risk involved in this price too. Just look at the last 10, 15 games. You basically have four games where you're excited on this price. And of course, he was excellent in the long stretch before that. But I don't know. Just a lot's weird with the Wizards right now, and that's not really where I want to be.
On the Knicks side of the ball, they started Ndour, N-D-O-U-R, Maurice, for Porzingis the other night. You know, Ron Baker is not good at basketball, still played 37 minutes, needs all 37 of those minutes to be fantasy viable. Like, he probably actually needs to play a few more to just when it's all said and done. 37 minutes, only took 7 shots, was able to turn the ball over 4 times. At what point do the minutes trump that the fact that he's not good, they don't really have much in the way of backup point guards at this point. Like, they, Justin Holiday is just not a guy that they seem to incentivize to play. What are some of your just overall thoughts on the Knicks team, who is just pretty gross to watch just in general?
Yeah, we still don't have any clear news on Porzingis as of this podcast. He missed Tuesday night. He seemed to be just, I guess, a little dinged up in Sunday's loss against the Celtics and hasn't really fully recovered, but who knows? He might go out there and play 20-something minutes. I'm going to be listening for news. Hopefully we'll have that before lock, since this game's at 7:30, but no one on the Knicks is really too exciting. Guys that have had some upside in the past, Hernan Gomez, those guys, they're down in the low 20s of minutes. Who knows if Melo plays, if he sits, it just kind of doesn't really matter because we haven't really been able to trust who gets the minutes there either. So you're kind of left on the Ron Baker bandwagon. I think if I'm going to go cheap at point guard, I'll probably just play Dellavedova, assuming that he gets to start again.
I was going to ask about that. Like, those two guys, like Dellavedova or Baker, who do you...
Yeah, I'll just play Dellavedova. I mean, yeah, Baker...
Close. I don't know. It's close in the sense
it's
that,
fairly close, but look, at least Dellavedova, I mean, he has a one truly, truly terrible game, but when he's out there, we at least know he'll have the ball in his hands. Like, Baker, 13 fantasy points against Miami in 40 minutes. Like, I don't know. They're both the same to me, which is to say, right, I won't be excited to play either.
Correct. That's
if more I, if I wind up having to choose between one or the other because the money is so weird, then I'll just take Dellavedova.
No, I'm mostly just choosing just because I don't like either, but they're both stand to play a ton of minutes. Like I said, this guy Nodor played pretty big minutes. It was pretty good. He went 13-12 last game when Porzingis sat. If he was to get if he was to get the clear start again, I would consider actually him as a fairly strong punt play at 3,800 on FanDuel. So if we knew about Porzingis, I wouldn't have. We have, honestly, with one game track record at this point, it's almost kind of like good enough for me. Now, do I want to like go all in on the guy? No, but if 33 minutes out of a guy 3,800 or so, then you're seeing, I don't know. It's probably a fine place to be. Nice rebounding numbers for him.
It could be. I think I like it better on DraftKings maybe, where the savings means a little bit more. On FanDuel, you just have some other good, relatively cheap options too. Like, we'll talk about Deng again in a second, but like Deng also plays those minutes and he's like 1,300 more. So true. I just don't, I don't know. It seems fine, but not like the type of punt that I'd be super, super excited about.
Yeah, only 30. You're correct, though. On 3,700 on DraftKings, that is the kind of the punt play where they're pricing sharper, that probably more enticing over there. 8 o'clock game, Celtics and Atlanta. Celtics coming off probably what they would consider to be a tough loss against the Cavs last night, where they fall a game back in the loss column to the Cavs for the Eastern Conference Finals. LeBron absolutely put on a clinic. I saw a good tweet, and I actually can't remember who the tweet was from, but it said something like, LeBron going dad doing his kid science project in the second half, like just full takeover mode, which I thought was a pretty good description of how he just kind of beasted on the Celtics. But speaking of that, I know the Cavs aren't playing. Even in the game where they were winning by like 22, they just couldn't find a way to not play LeBron 39 minutes. Like, I just don't know. Like, I just don't know what the Cavs' plan here is with him. But anyway, Celtics. Do you think Celtics are still in? Do you think they're still in the mode of trying to catch the Cavs for this top pick, or one game at this point is it's not the end of the world, but it's kind of a lot when you lost that game heads up. Where do you see the Celtics kind of coming in on their minutes tonight against Atlanta?
I think they'll make a run at it. I mean, a lot of their guys didn't get stressed too much. It's kind of weird with the Celtics because they do have these like little injury things going on. Crowder, Bradley, a couple of these guys have had some uncertainty around how many minutes they're going to play. But you're now in back-to-back. Like Isaiah Thomas, for instance, played 24 minutes against the Knicks and 33 against Cleveland. You'd have to think that on some level they want to keep these guys a little bit sharp. I mean, yeah, their seeding is relatively locked in, but I think they should give it I suspect they will give it one more game, right? Because if they get a win and Cleveland gets a loss, all of a sudden things are looking a lot more interesting. And Cleveland's far from invulnerable. They've lost 27 games on the season. So I think that, and again, they're three up on the loss column on Toronto, but it would be a pretty disastrous situation if they just managed to lose out or something like that and lose a seed there. So I do think that they'll play tonight. And of course, on the other side of the ball, Atlanta definitely is going to be playing. They're in a similar situation where it'd be tough to get leapfrogged by three teams here, given that they're two up in the loss column against Chicago, Miami, and Indiana. But something like losing out for the season would also, and they've already lost their last two, something like losing out for the season would dumpster their playoff hopes. So I think that they'll keep fighting at least until they're mathematically locked into the playoffs, and then maybe then they take a breather. And I think that actually gives us some pretty interesting options for this game. We have Dennis Schroeder, point guard. as you wind up breaking it down tonight, point guard's pretty dicey, actually. Really tough to get anyone who feels totally safe, which maybe feels surprising given when you look at the overall names at the beginning of the night. But Schroeder's a guy who been coming out recently playing high 30s, even touching into the 40 minutes from time to time. And aside from one little hiccup against Philadelphia, been paying something like 5 to 6, even set almost 7x on these prices. So I think he's an excellent play tonight. Fast-paced matchup with Boston. They can be tough on opposing point guards if, you know, he gets the Bradley or Smart treatment, but still definitely a guy who's on my radar.
It's interesting about the Hawks where, and this maybe isn't totally DFS relevant, but it sort of is. There's the final schedule for the final five games for them is kind of brutal. So you were saying it's be tough to get leapfrogged. They had to play Boston, then Cleveland twice. On a back-to-back. Then Charlotte, who's whatever. And then Indiana, who's going to be fighting for a spot. That actually is kind of a brutal down the stretch schedule, considering they're in the East. Like, they pretty much play the only two teams in the East you don't want to play, and they have to play in three out of the last five games between Boston and Cleveland, which makes their loss last game to the Nets look particularly bad. I think I'm with you. They're going to want to see these guys play major minutes. I think they've been working Millsap back into the mix, a little, bring him along slowly, but you could probably see the minutes increase there. Final game on the schedule is a late game. We have to wait 2.5 hours after the 8 o'clock game starts to get to Minnesota and Portland. Portland, I believe, still in the playoff hunt. I just clicked off the standings while I was saying something about the Hawks.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They're in the eighth seed.
Playing without Nurkic, where do you see have they stabilized their minutes without Nurkic, between guys like Leonard and Vonleh? You probably looked up at this a little more closely than I did last night.
It's tough to say, you know. I mean, it's been a relatively short sample size, and we haven't had completely normal game script so far. So I don't know. So all of this is to say, I don't know that we want to be in the business of speculating on Portland big minutes to try to get our edge. Like, last game was decided by 20 points. The game prior to that against Minnesota was much closer, but, you know, some of the guys that we expected to play more minutes, Myers Leonard in particular, just wound up playing like 12 minutes, and Aminu was the big winner there. So I don't think we have a big enough sample size to really make any big determinations on where all the minutes are going to be headed here, but I think it's safe to say that on the other side of the ball, the Minnesota bigs are in a much more favorable situation than they would have been a week ago in the same matchup. So, you know, Deng, Towns, these guys have been playing 39 minutes, 38 minutes a game, putting up consistent numbers. I really like Deng in particular. I think an especially nice spot to deploy him would be in big tournaments where I think a lot of people will still talk themselves into Aaron Gordon, who probably is just the better play straight up. But Deng has similar upside. Like, he touched 43 fantasy points against the Lakers. And, you know, getting a guy who 4 games ago paid 8x on this price in the exact same situation is really unusual. I don't know why Deng's price never seems to catch up to his actual production, but I think he's a very, very safe player. Happy to play him in cash games, big tournaments, really any format imaginable. Towns going to be a little trickier for me. I think he's an excellent play tonight, but I also really like Butler and Giannis, and I just don't know at this point who's going to be the odd man out.
I think just the thing with Towns is, now you have Vuce in a similar, just in a great situation too, and that's the only, I think that's the one kind of reason you can kind of go away from Towns and just, you know, spend $2,000 less and play Vuce against the Nets, and that's, and feel pretty good about it, right? And that would be the only reason I think you don't need to just go above and beyond to get Towns. That being said, they don't really have anyone that can guard him. They really didn't before totally with Nurkic, and they definitely don't now. So I think that is one reason you can see people talking themselves into Towns, and I think pretty correctly. The great thing about this late game, these are not two teams that you necessarily have to worry about just getting, like, this isn't like the Kings playing the late game, right? These two teams are very stable with what they do and how they deploy their minutes. You know, is Minnesota, they've been like this all season because of the coach. Portland's in the situation where they want to win. So I don't think you need to be so worried about the uncertainty around roster shakeups, you know, for 3 hours later, like you do with some teams. And I think that's the safety you get from those guys as well. All right. I think that's it for us today, covering what looks to be a pretty exciting, just smaller Thursday slate of NBA. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Hit that site, /MLB, no longer membership, and you'll get a free 7-day trial to our projection system. That's optimal lineups powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That'll give you optimal lineups for NBA and MLB, FanDuel, and DraftKings. You're all set to go. Buddy, talk to you again tomorrow for another full day.
Yeah.